I'm good. I can just grab it. Morning. Morning. How's it going? Morning. Good to see you, Sharon. Good to see you, Mitch. How's it going?
Good.
Good to have you back. Sit anywhere you like. Don't worry about there being two or anything like that. We try to keep more chairs than people, so. Not sure where the extra markers went, so. I can grab one from an empty. No, that's fine. I'll make it work. That's a good call. There's a teacher's eye. Good morning, church.
Morning.
It's great to have you with us on this wonderful Sunday as we celebrate and praise God for all the wonderful things He does for us. It is finally October, believe it or not, so we get a chance to worship actually with the heat on down here. We'll actually get used to the comfort level and then we'll adjust to upstairs next week. But that is part of 2020 and we're looking forward to that. In our announcements, I want to give a big thanks for Carolyn and the CEC for getting our first Zoom Sunday School off and running. We had a lot of fun. We played Bible trivia. The kids did a great job. They came up with a lot of answers. So for your knowledge, Zoom Sunday School, that's going to happen every other week. So we won't have one this week, but we'll have one next week. We're sticking with 8:30 right now. We'll meet and see if that continues to work for people. But we really have enjoyed the participation we had this week. Also, a big thanks to all those who came out for our fall festival or donated stuff. We actually have a few items for you to take home if you want, if you want to take a dessert home or anything like that. I think they'll also be selling, for donation, the buns, the baked beans, and what else, Joyce? Macaroni salad and sloppy joe. So if you're interested in that, Joyce would be the woman to see about that. And then please don't forget, next Sunday, we are actually returning to worship in the sanctuary. We're excited about that, but remember, all of our protocols are going to remain in place with that. There will remain social distancing, masks, and no singing. And we'll try to have an elder and a trustee set up at each door to kind of help you get seated, because what we'll do is very similar to what we do here, but a little different, where we'll put families of two on different sides of pews, families of three or four will get their own pews in the back, and so it'll take us, just like we adjusted here, it'll take us a week or two to adjust to that, and then everybody will have their pew, and things will feel a little normal with that. Also, this Sunday is our Day of Mission Bags. These were donated by our CEC and our joint board, so all the families that are here, and actually a couple of you that are here who have been back for your first Sunday, you'll get to receive your Day of Mission Bags. So yet the people who picked you or who received you have a very, very short method of transportation to get those bags to you. So they're very lucky with that. But what we're doing for those, you can see the gift bags behind me. We're asking you to drop them off with one or two families. I tried to pick families you knew or were very close to your house. And what we have in there is a little card for you. We're asking you just to fill it out, say a couple lines, say, this is from your Shen Run family, thinking of you and we miss you. And that's our way of reaching out to so many people in our church who stay connected with us virtually, who make sure that they're tithing and giving to the church. We've had a lot of people step up in that regard, and we are just blessed with so many people, and we are a big church family, and we want to remind people that we care about them, even if they can't physically be here. That's all I have for announcements. Let us stand and greet each other by wave. Good morning. You may be seated. Our watchword this week comes from Psalm 118, verses 22 to 23. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Amen. Thank you, Letitia. In our prayer concerns this week, we have a lot to uplift to God in prayer. We ask that you remember that we only share some prayer concerns publicly as I announce them, and a lot of the personal prayers for you and your family members and their loved ones to protect their identity when we stream services online, they will be on the slides. While Emily is playing background music, Angie is playing background music. Emily, if you want to sing, feel free, throw a solo in there. But while Angie is playing background music, those of you online will see that, But if you are online, please remember that all of our prayers are shared on our prayer chain. So if you have any prayers to uplift while in that time of silent reflection as we're looking at that slide, that would be a good time to write that prayer concern on your whiteboard, and we'll uplift that in prayer. And also make sure you let Delene know after what that prayer concern was. And we begin our prayer concerns this week by uplifting in prayer certainly the President and First Lady Melania Trump, as we wish them well and hopefully a happy recovery or quick recovery with COVID. And I think anytime a politician gets sick this close to election time, I think it's a reminder that we always pray for the health, safety, and well-being of one another before our politics. And we care for one another and we love one another, and that's our duty first, because our duty to God is always more important than our duty to politics. In prayers of sympathy and resurrection hope to the family of Jerry Foster, he is Becky Schanhauer's cousin. They were very close and a good friend of Don's. He passed away last week, so we offer them prayers of sympathy and resurrection hope. Continued prayers for the family of John Jack Walton, who would be Kathy Cummings' father. We celebrated his life last week, and we just continue to uplift that family in prayer as they go through that loss. Also prayers of sympathy and resurrection hope for the family of Nathan Clark. He would be Doug Miller's cousin. He passed away at 35 this past week, and there's a memorial service to celebrate his life. We continue to pray for the health and safety and well-being of our nation and our world, especially the COVID cases that continue to rise across our country. We continue to pray for our schools, our students, our staff. We ask that they be kept safe, and we just continue to pray that we work together to be a peaceful and loving world. So at this time, you'll get a chance to see quite a few prayer concerns that we have this week, and we ask that you really uplift them in prayers, because I think this week was a heavy week thinking about our prayer chain and all the family members and members of our congregation who are suffering through something. And it's important in those times, especially those times, that we remember how active and busy God is in our life and in our world, trying to make people anew. So let us reflect in prayer. Thank you. anybody has some prayer concerns to share at this time on their whiteboard? You can lift it up. I just want to make sure I can. We'll certainly lift Jeff in prayer. Does anybody else have any other prayer concerns? Wonderful. Looking to the birth of a great-granddaughter and safe travels as well. Let's turn to God in prayer. Let's listen for the voice of God. Gracious God, there's a lot on our hearts and minds this week. So many of us have a family member or a loved one we are thinking of who is going through a difficult time, a hardship, a health crisis. Gracious God, just please help us to remember that you are surrounding them in love, you are surrounding them in care, you are surrounding them in compassion. And when we feel exhausted and overwhelmed, help us to remember that as a reminder to trust in you, because when we fall, you will pick us up. When we're scared, you will hold our hand. When we're anxious, you will provide us with peace. And we are so grateful for that. So we pray. We pray for our world leaders, especially our president and his wife. Please protect them and keep them health and safe, and keep our nation, as so many people are facing COVID, safe. And we pray for the sick, the hungry, those who are battling illness, those who are facing diseases, those who are struggling with addiction and wrestling with other problems. Gracious God, please watch over them. And in the midst of all of this, we have so much to be thankful for. We think of new families adding people and the additions that come with so many joys in our lives. And help us, even in the midst of great sadness, to remember joy can be found, joy can be resurrected. And you remind us that even on what was supposed to be the worst day on this entire earth, when you were crucified, you defeated death and turned it into the most beautiful day we could ever imagine. So even on difficult and different days, remind us that we are Easter people through and through, and we can see resurrection, hope, and love every single day. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. We now turn to our offering. We are not passing an offering plate around, but there is an offering plate in the back if you would care to put one in before you leave. But just continue to look for opportunities to give, to care, especially to our community and to our loved ones. I know a lot of our food pantries and homeless shelters are in need of supplies at this time. So if you have the ability to support them in any way, shape, or form, I encourage you to do so. But let us now think of the tithes, the offerings, and the spiritual gifts that we offer God. We now turn our attention to our children's tap. At this time, I ask you to, kids, if you brought your item for your youth Sunday this week, you can leave it in your bucket, and I'll call on you, and you can bring it out. So what I want to talk about today is distractions. Do you kids ever get distracted by anything? Yeah? I see a couple hands up from your parents once in a while. Guess what? For adults, it's very easy to get distracted, too, so I'm sure it's incredibly hard for you. So let me tell you, I'm a pastor of a church, so my full-time job is to work on the spiritual life of my congregation and me. But sometimes I even have a hard time sitting down and getting time to read the Bible. So I try to start my morning with 10 minutes of biblical reading every morning, just try to get me centered and focused for the day. But before I do that, I pull out my phone, and I'm distracted by whatever Nick has in his box. What am I distracted by? I'm distracted by antlers. I've been checking out deer online, trying to see what seasons are coming out, what camo gear I need to be wearing. And before you know it, I'm checking out all the deer hunter games I can play on PS4. Tristan's been teaching me all of them, trying to check them out, look for them. And before you know it, I've wasted all my breakfast time. I've got to quick eat my Pop-Tart. I've got to run, and I don't make time for my 10 minutes. So I go back to work. I put in a couple hours. I get ready for lunch, and I pull out my Bible, and I get ready to read my two chapters. But, oh, my phone vibrated, and I felt something. And Paige, what did I find on the internet? Snoopy Halloween mask. Of course, I got to have my Halloween costume ready. I don't have time for scripture. I got to find something that a 6'4" man can fit into. So my Snoopy mask is about the only option I have right there. And then, so naturally, I waste my entire lunch time, the time that I could have been reading my scripture, and I got to eat a sandwich quick, and I got to go back to work, and I forget all about my biblical devotions. But then I finish my day at work, I get ready for dinner, and then I turn to Mr. Brandon, and right before I'm about to get time for my scripture and read that, I get distracted by something else. Brandon, what do I get distracted by? You got anything? You got your pink item? I get distracted by talking to my grandmother. Oh, there we go. And he's got the pink ball. Oh, yeah. I love to throw it around, have some fun with it. And before you know it, I'm throwing it up in the air. I'm juggling, and I haven't made any time for my scripture. But luckily, I have one more opportunity. It's always good to anchor yourself in scripture before you go to bed, right? So I'm going to read my scripture, but then I have the opportunity for dessert. And while I'm eating my dessert, I get distracted by somebody in a Julio Jones jersey, and I start thinking about my fantasy football team before I even think about the distraction you have in your hand and how I hope he doesn't destroy the Green Bay Packers again. What else am I distracted by? Oh, Batman. Oh, I love my comics. So if I see Batman, that makes me think I got to catch up on my Netflix series. So I got a teenager in my house. So I don't have any time for scripture left in my day. I got to catch up on Netflix. So your lesson here today, did I do a good day or a bad day? Who thinks I had a good day? Who thinks I had a bad day? I didn't do what I was supposed to. I had a bad day because I wanted to set aside 10 minutes, just 10 minutes in my day to read the Bible. And I got so distracted by everything else that I didn't get it done. So as Christians, sometimes we got to be really good at staying focused and making sure we keep our eyes on what we want to do when we want to do it. Because if we just kind of hope we're going to read the Bible during the day, it doesn't come together. Because in our world, there are tons of distractions, especially with our phones, our iPads, our video games, all that other stuff. So we really have to work hard to make sure that we stay connected to God. And I want you all to remember that. So if you're interested in reading 5 minutes of the Bible, really get yourself on a schedule. You're reading it that same 5 minutes every day. Or actually, Emily's really good. She'll set up an alert on my phone, so I get a reminder, hey, dummy, you're supposed to be doing this. And then I remember to do that. And it doesn't just work for the Bible either. There's plenty of ways that can help. But remember, distractions are around us every day, and that's why we got to stay anchored and centered in God. Let us pray. Gracious God, we ask that you bless these kids and just remind them that they are loved, they are cared for, and just help them to know that it's easy to get distracted and it is definitely okay to get distracted. But we have to remind ourselves to come back to you. Come back to how you care for us, come back to how you love us, and come back to how we can serve you. And even when we get distracted and lost, we know that you will lead us back on the righteous path. So please bless and protect our children. In your name we pray. Amen. Oh. Ooh. And I got distracted by what my Bible is doing to my bulletin. My goodness. So as we let us turn our hearts and our minds to an attention or our attention to the message today. As you can see from our children's chat, a big allusion to what we're facing in our world, that big D word, distraction. It's very, very easy for us to be distracted by what happens in our life. In fact, I found in research a study by Harvard University said people spend 47% of their waking hours thinking about something other than what they are currently doing. You spend almost half your day doing something, being focused on something other than what you are doing. And I really thought about that a lot this week because of how many times, as a tired parent, walking from one room to the next and completely forgetting about what I was going to grab. I did that at least a half a dozen times. I'm sure many of you have done that quite a bit, where it's actually scientifically proven you can only remember a certain amount of things, and we get so distracted by that. And in fact, the researchers from this study, they were so bold to say that a mind wandering, was a cause and not just merely a consequence of unhappiness in your life. So having a mind that continuously wanders can make you a very unhappy person. And if you think about it, that's got to be the reason why so many major religions spend a great, great deal of time focused on mindfulness and being present in the moment. So many do. And the Apostle Paul, in his letters to the Philippians, he was not one for distraction. He was one for staying focused. Listen to him in verse 12 to 14 with a lot of clarity there. "Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, press on towards the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus." Press on towards the goal. So what Paul is saying, brothers and sisters, is that a relationship with Christ is the goal, and we cannot let ourselves become distracted by the other things. This is even so much harder, I think, in the 21st century compared to the first century, because we have millions of distractions surrounding us. Millions on our phones, our TVs, and our computers. Distraction has really become a way of life for human beings in the 21st century. And I am guilty of it in the worst way. I can't remember the last time I ever watched television without a telephone next to me, or my cell phone, a computer, or an iPad nearby. And if it's March or April and basketball and baseball are together, I might have a rerun of a football game in the background, one on my TV, one on my iPad, one on my cell phone right there, trying to watch all three. It's become so bad that we have distractions for our distractions now. That's how bad it is. When we're on our phone, there's something else to distract and pop up. Time magazine is in fact reporting that the attention span of the human brain is now a second less than that of a goldfish. The attention span of the human brain is now a second less than that of a goldfish. Think about that. We can't even beat Dory from Finding Nemo anymore. That's how bad we are doing with our attention. And the other part is the busyness of our life. We take pride that our schedules are so busy and we don't have a free moment anywhere. Free time for children is now considered a bad thing. Like, you don't have a piano lesson, a advanced sports team to be on. That's considered bad parenting, almost. My wife Emily actually used a really good illustration on Facebook this past week that I thought really illustrated that point, showing how difficult our time management can be throughout the week. The illustration came from Nora Roberts, and she did a great job showcasing how difficult time management can be. She said, "Managing time as a parent and as an employee or as a full-time worker can be one of the most difficult tasks that humans and Christians have." She said her schedule is what she likes to call full of plastic balls and glass balls, and she's a juggler. You have to learn how to juggle those things. I have cups in my hand right now to illustrate that. But there are things that are plastic and there are things that are glass. And she looked at those from two categories, being a parent and being an employee or a worker. And so an illustration would be a plastic thing would be something that's not as essential or as important. A glass item is something that you can't drop or otherwise it's going to shatter in a lot of different places. So to give you some examples of that, a plastic ball as a parent could be maybe what night you decide to do laundry. Am I going to do it on Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday? Or am I going to make sure I call the dentist today and follow through on the appointment for the kid? That's important, but if you don't get it done that day, the world is not necessarily going to end. A glass ball for a parent would be helping your child with an important homework assignment that you know is going to define their grade or their status in their class. Can't drop that ball. Your kid is in their most important after-school activity, the championship game, the school play, the big musical. You can't drop that ball. You got to be there for them. That's a glass one. And it's also important to think about what that means as an employee. So your plastic task would be those daily work assignments you got to get done. Those things that are expected of you, but maybe if it doesn't happen in a perfect way, you will survive that day. A glass ball would be that important company project that's going to decide your raise and the fate and the future of the company and maybe a few other employees, or just make sure that you still have food on the table for your family. You can't drop that ball, can you? Now, she said what she learned, the biggest lesson she's learned as a parent, as a working parent, to keep her from feeling guilty is to remember that it is okay sometimes if you need to drop a plastic family ball to save a glass work ball. Sometimes that's just the name of the game. But the problem is when you get stuck in life, the one thing you cannot do is you cannot drop a glass family. I'm not going to drop that right now. But you cannot drop a glass family item to save a plastic work item. That is a recipe for disaster. And I love this illustration because it reminds me and it gives me permission to say that I can't do everything in my life that I want to be. I can't be a perfect employee. I can't be a perfect parent. I can't have a perfect spiritual life all at the same time. And guess what? We need permission sometimes to say it's okay to be human. It's okay to be mortal. Because if we try to be superheroes for everyone, what usually ends up happening? We end up pleasing no one. No one's happy. And you know who the most unhappy person is when we try to please everyone? Ourselves. Because it impacts our self-esteem. It impacts our ability to do what we want to do. And we tire ourselves and get no results out of it. So the challenge in our world that is busy and chaotic as ever is when it comes to our spiritual life. We looked at that from a parent and an employee. When it comes to our spiritual life, we think that we think everything is plastic and it can always be dropped sometimes. And we have to realize sometimes that our prayer life, our meditation, our scripture reading, there are times we can adjust it, there are times we can move it, but if we treat too many things like plastic when it comes to our spiritual life, then our spiritual life as a whole, it drops. It shatters because we didn't take time to do the small maintenance and the small care for it. And that's why we have to make sure that there are things in our spiritual life that we continue to uplift, that we continue to nurture. Because our faith in Jesus, that cannot be shattered. That cannot be ruined. And that is why we have to listen to Paul's words and remind ourselves to stay focused on the prize. We need a personal relationship with Jesus. And that is the most important thing in our lives. Because when we account for our lives in our day of glory, they're not going to ask us if we had perfect attendance at work. God's not going to ask us what's on our report card. God's not going to ask us if we mowed the lawn every week. God is simply going to ask us if we were willing to have a personal relationship with Jesus. And that is why when it comes to our caring, our compassion, and our faith, we have to make sure that ultimately we don't drop the ball. We care enough to make our faith matter. We run the race of perseverance, and we remind ourselves that God is a priority in our lives. God is a priority in our children's life. And we can sing that praise every single day. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come before you, and we just come before you humbly today, remembering that there is so much in our lives and our days that we want to accomplish. And we realize that sometimes we can't get it all done. So help us to be gentle with ourselves and help us to be gentle with each other. But also challenge us to prioritize putting you first, our family first, before our work and before our distractions. And help us to remember that the more we focus on you, the less those distractions can impact us and harm us. Because when we are anchored and with God, we are steadfast and immovable. And we are anchored in your love, your compassion, and your devotion. In your blessed and gracious name we pray. Amen. We now turn our attention to Holy Communion today. So what we are going to do is very similar to what we did for the first time we did Holy Communion in the fellowship hall, but with a little different caveat at the end. So what I'm going to do is Angie will play music, I will turn into my robe, and then I'll do my Batman turn, and then after that, we'll celebrate in the words of institution, and then family by family, I will invite you up to the kitchen window, and just like traditional Moravian Communion, I'm going to ask you to hold those elements. We'll all come back to our spots, and then I'll ask you to rise together, and then we will partake of communion together. And then after that, after the benediction of that, I'll then come back, and then as I dismiss you, I'll give you your day of mission bags. So remember, once again, the Moravian Church has an open communion table. All are welcome at God's table, all who are willing to welcome God's love in their heart. So let us take some time to reflect on the love, on the unconditional love that God gives us every single day. Thank you. grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Thanks be to God. If you would like to share, I apologize, if you would like to share in the words from the communion in bold, you are welcome to. We feel that it's okay for Holy Communion to participate. Let's take some time for a prayer of thanksgiving. Gracious God, we come before you and want to say thank you for your sacrifice on the cross. Thank you for the gift of your redeeming love. And we come before you today asking your forgiveness. Forgive us for what we have done and what we have not done. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We have not loved you with our whole hearts. But still, it is your redemption and your not your judgment that defines us. And we are so grateful to be children of such a loving God. And let us pray together the prayer that you taught us to pray in remembrance. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now we share in the words of institution. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said to his disciples, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, our Lord Jesus Christ took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this whenever you drink of it in remembrance of me." We'll now distribute the communion elements by family, and we ask that you hold them once again. Peace. and Randy. I'll bring one to you. You're a little busy. Please rise. And you can take down your mask for this part, otherwise it might be a little difficult. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you." By your divine presence, by the holy sacrament, by all the merits of your life, suffering, death, and resurrection, bless and comfort us, gracious Lord and God. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Drink from this, all of you. Do this whenever you drink of it in remembrance of me." Christ, the Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. So this concludes our worship service. For those of you that are joining us online, this will allow us to transition into our Day of Mission gift bags. Each of you have been given a family or will receive a bag. All I ask that if it's not something you're comfortable you're doing, please let me know. I'm happy to drop off any bags that people are not able to do. You can do whatever people are comfortable with. If you don't think they want any personal contact, you can fill out the card, leave it on their door, and I'm sure they will see it as well. Don't forget there are some desserts as well that we need somebody to step up and eat those for us. So I'm sure a few brave souls out there can help us with that. So let us take some time. I will dismiss you by family and give you your Day of Mission bag. And if you have any questions about that, feel free to ask. Oh, and we'll also be, Joyce will be back there with me, or somebody will be back there if you want any food on the fly, or not, food on the fly. Fall festival stuff. You can tell I'm a tired man today. On that note, we conclude.